Chapter 3. And petty seemed the happenings that ministered to their joyance. Simple things, onerous to satiate souls, increased their buoyance. Who could those common people be, of days the plainest, barest? They were we, yes, happier than the cleverest, smartest, rarest. The curtains now are drawn, song. The curtains now are drawn, and the spindrift strikes the glass, blown up the jagged pass by the surly salt Sioux west, and the sneering glare is gone behind the yonder crest, while she sings to me. Oh, the dream, that thou art my love, be it thine, and the dream, that I am thy love, be it mine, and death may come, but loving is divine. 2. I stand here in the rain, with its smite upon her stone, and the grasses, that have grown over women, children, men, and their texts, that life is vain, but I hear the notes as when once she sang to me. Oh, the dream, that thou art my love, be it thine, and the dream, that I am thy love, be it mine, and death may come, but loving is divine. 1913. According to the mighty working, I, when moiling seems at cease in the vague void of night-time, and heaven's wide roomage stormless between the dusk and light-time, and fear at last is formless, we call the allurement peace. 2. Peace, this hid riot, change, this revel of quick-cued mumming, this never truly being, this evermore becoming, this spinner's wheel on fleeing outside perception's range. 1917. I was not eat song. I was naughty the man who used to pilgrim to your gate, at whose smart step you grew late, and rosed, as maidens can, for a brief span. It was not I who sang beside the keys you touched so true with note-bent eyes, as if with you, it counted not whence sprang the voice that rang. Dot dot, yet though my destiny it was to miss your early sweet, you still, when turned to you my feet, had sweet enough to be a prize for me. The West of Wessex girl, a very West of Wessex girl, as blithe could be, was once well known to me, and she would laud her native town, and hope, that we might sometime study up and down its charms in company. But never I squired my Wessex girl in jaunts to Hoare Street, when hearts were high in beat, nor saw her in the marbled ways, where market people meet that in her bounding early days were friendly with her feet. Yet now my West of Wessex girl, when midnight hammers slow from Andrews, blow by blow, as phantom draws me by the hand to the place Plymouth Ho, where side by side in life, as planned, we never were to go. Begun in Plymouth, March 1913. Welcome home, to my native place bent upon returning, bosom all day burning, to be where my race well were known, 'twas much with me there to dwell in amity. Folk had sought their beds, but I hailed. To view me under the moon, out to me several pushed their heads, and to each I told my name, plans, and that therefrom I came. Idu? Dot 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 ah, 'tis true I once heard, back a long time, here had spent his young time, some such man as you. Dot dot good night. The casement closed again, and I was left in the frosty lane. Going and staying, the moving sun shapes on the spray, the sparkles where the brook was flowing pink faces, plightings, moonlit May, these were the things we wished would stay, but they were going. 2. Seasons of blankness as of snow, the silent bleat of a world decaying, the moan of multitudes in woe, these were the things we wished would go, but they were staying. 3. Then we looked closelier at time, and saw his ghostly arms revolving, to sweep off woeful things with prime, things sinister with things sublime alike dissolving. Read by moonlight, I paused to read a letter of hers by the moon's cold shine, eyeing it in the tenderest way, and edging it up to catch each ray upon her light-penned line. I did not know what years would flow of her life's span, and mine ear I read another letter of hers by the moon's cold shine. I chance now on the last of hers, by the moon's cold shine. It is the one remaining page out of the many shallow and sage whereto she set her sign. Who could foresee there were to be such letters of pain and pine ere I should read this last of hers by the moon's cold shine? At a house in Hampstead sometime the dwelling of John Keats, O poet, come you haunting here, where streets have stolen up all around, and never a nightingale pours one full-throated sound? Drawn from your drowse by the seven famed hills, thought you to find all just the same here shining, as in hours of old, if you but came? What will you do in your surprise at seeing that changes wrought in Rome are wrought, yet more on the misty slope one time your home? Will you wake wind wafts on these stairs? Swing the doors open noisily? Show as an umbraged ghost beside your ancient tree? Or will you, softening, the while you further, and yet further look, learn that a laggard few would fain preserve your nook? ... Where the piazza steps incline, and catch late light at eventide, I once stood, in that Rome, and thought, 'twas here he died. I drew to a violet-sprinkled spot, where day and night a pyramid keeps uplifted its white hand, and said, 'Tis there he sleeps.' Pleasanter now it is to hold that here, where sang he, more of him remains than where he, tuneless, cold, passed to the dim. July 1920. A woman's fancy. Ah, madam, you've indeed come back here? 'Twas sad your husband so swift death, and you away. You shouldn't have left him. It hastened his last breath. Dame, I am not the lady you think me. I know not her, nor know her name. I've come to lodge here a friendless woman, my health my only aim. She came, she lodged. Wherever she rambled they held her as no other than the lady named, and told how her husband had died a forsaken man. So often did they call her thuswise mistakenly, by that man's name, so much did they declare about him, that his past form and fame grew on her, till she pitied his sorrow, as if she truly had been the cause, yea, his deserter, and came to wonder what mold of man he was. Tell me my history, would exclaim she. Her history, she said mournfully. But you know, surely, ma'am, they would answer, much in perplexity. Curious, she crept to his grave one evening, and a second time in the dusk of the morrow, then a third time, with crescent emotion like a bereaved wife's sorrow. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.